Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. You know, when we usually think about evolution, we tend to picture this incredibly slow, majestic escalator.
Yeah, like tiny incremental changes gradually building up over millions of years.
Exactly. But there is a place where that escalator is replaced by, like, a high-speed roller coaster, and that is the evolutionary arms race between our immune system and viruses.
Oh, definitely. Because viruses replicate so rapidly, they mutate constantly to just slip past our defenses.
Right, and our cells basically have to evolve just as fast to catch them. But this raises a really compelling question for you to ponder today. What happens when our cells face a viral threat that is mathematically almost impossible to defeat through normal, slow genetic evolution?
It creates a terrifying situation for the host. Traditional adaptation basically hits a brick wall.
Exactly. What if the virus has jumped so far ahead that catching up would require rolling a biological six-sided die and getting a six 50 times in a row?
The organism is just left completely vulnerable to infection.
Right. But here is the hook for today's deep dive. What if a genetic type of specifically, an insertion or a deletion of DNA that is almost always catastrophic for a protein, could actually be a secret evolutionary shortcut?
It sounds so counterintuitive.
It really does. I mean, how could a destructive, chaotic mutation that usually breaks a biological machine actually save us from a completely new virus?
Today, we celebrate the work of the research teams at UCSF and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Center, who have advanced our understanding of how antiviral proteins evolve via insertion and deletion mutations. We are taking a deep dive into a June 2025 paper published in Cell Genomics by Tenthury and colleagues.
And it completely reframes how we think about genetic variation, right?
Oh, absolutely. It changes structural biology and immune defense fundamentally.
So to really grasp the magnitude of what this research team uncovered, we need to set the stage with the specific frontline defenders in our cells. We are talking about restriction factors.
Right. Restriction factors are innate immune proteins. You can think of them as like the cell's internal security guards.
Just floating around looking for trouble.
Basically, yeah. Their entire job is to float around the cytoplasm, recognize the signatures of incoming viral invaders, and neutralize them before they can travel to the nucleus and hijack the cell's replication machinery.
Okay, and the specific security guard the study focuses on is a protein called TRIM5A, or human TRIM5 alpha.
Yes, it's an antiviral protein specifically tailored to target retroviruses.
Like HIV and SIV, the simian immunodeficiency virus.
Exactly. And TRIM5A has a very specific biological weapon for this job.
It uses this highly variable, largely unstructured segment of its anatomy called the V1 loop.
Right, the V1 loop. It uses this loop to physically grab onto the capsids.
Which are those geometric protective outer shells of the incoming viruses.
Yes. But what is crucial to understand about this V1 loop is just how disordered it is.
What do you mean by disordered?
Well, most of a protein is folded into a very strict, rigid, predictable 3D structure. The V1 loop is not. It is highly flexible.
Oh, so it acts almost like a loose floppy net that the TRIM5A protein just throws over the viral capsid.
That's a great analogy. But because viruses are constantly mutating the surface of their capsids to evade this net, the V1 loop has to evolve constantly.
To change the shape of its netting to keep catching them.
Exactly.
So if the virus is constantly changing its protective shell, how is TRIM5A supposed to keep up? Traditionally, we've assumed it uses missense mutations.
Right, which are the small tweaks.
Yeah. In genomics, if we think of DNA as a string of letters making up words, a missense mutation is just swapping a single letter, like changing the word cat to bat.
It alters the meaning slightly, yeah.
Right. It might change one single amino acid in the protein, but it's a small, manageable structural change. And most research focuses heavily on these missense mutations. But today, we are focusing on something entirely different.
Indels.
Indels. That is short for insertions or deletions.
So instead of gently swapping a single letter, you are violently cramming an entirely new chunk of letters into the genetic sequence, or just ripping a chunk out.
To put that into perspective for you, indels actually account for about 10 to 20% of human genetic variation, but they are usually absolutely disastrous for the function of proteins.
They really are.
I mean, if a protein is a precise clockwork mechanism, an indel is like suddenly duplicating a random gear or just yanking a vital gear out, it almost always jams the entire machine.
You can see why indels are heavily selected against in nature. They wildly distort the secondary structure of proteins, they create weird bulges, or they misalign all the other working parts.
But the authors of this paper wanted to know if these usually destructive indels could somehow be uniquely useful against a specific terrifying global health threat.
Right, zoonotic spillovers.
Which is when a virus jumps from an animal reservoir into the human population.
Precisely. They focus their research on a virus called SIVSAB. It is a virus endemic to Sabaeus monkeys, which are a species of African green monkey. Now, if you look at rhesus monkeys, they possess a version of TRIM5A that easily catches and neutralizes SIVSAB.
But human TRIM5A?
It is completely blind to it. The human V1 loop cannot restrict SIVSAB at all.
And understanding how our human immune proteins could potentially evolve to stop such novel animal viruses is absolutely critical for predicting and preventing future pandemics.
It's basically the whole ballgame.
So the researchers have their clear target. They want to see if they can mutate human TRIM5A so it can successfully catch this monkey virus, SIVSAB.
Right, and they started with the classic state-of-the-art approach to this problem, which is deep mutational scanning, or DMS.
But I really want to dig into what that actually looks like in a laboratory, because it's not just a computer simulation, is it?
No, it is a massive physical brute force biological experiment.
So what did they actually do?
Deep mutational scanning means they took the genetic code for the V1 loop of human TRIM5A,
yeah,
and they synthesized a massive library of physical DNA plasmids.
They systematically created every single possible missense mutation, right?
Yes. Every possible single-letter genetic swap, resulting in every single possible amino acid change across that entire loop.
That is wild. So you just have this huge soup of thousands of slightly different human TRIM5A genetic blueprints. What do you do with them?
You introduce them into a massive population of human cells growing in a dish.
Okay.
So that each cell takes up just one mutated blueprint and starts manufacturing that specific variant of TRIM5A.
And then you subject all those cells to a brutal test.
Exactly. You infect the entire dish with a modified version of SCSAB.
But here's the trick. They engineered the virus to carry a gene for a green fluorescent protein.
Right, so the infection becomes visible.
If the virus successfully slips past the mutated TRIM5A and hijacks the cell, it forces the cell to manufacture that fluorescent protein, and the cell literally glows green.
But if the TRIM5A variant successfully intercepts the virus, the cell stays dark.
That is so elegant.
It really is. Then they run millions of these cells through a machine called a flow cytometer.
And that uses lasers to look at every single cell, one by one.
Right, yes. The machine physically sorts the cells, separating the glowing green infected cells from the dark surviving cells.
And by sequencing the DNA of the surviving cells, you can see exactly which single letter mutations saved them.
Exactly. And we know this incredibly complex method works beautifully for other viruses.
Right, because previous studies showed that almost half of all possible single missense mutations in this V1 loop actually give human TRIM5A some ability to fight HIV-1.
Right. So they run this massive flow cytometry experiment against a VSAB. They test every single letter change.
And the result?
Exactly zero.
Wait, really? Out of all possible single amino acid changes, not a single one helped human TRIM5A fight SIVSAB.
Not a single one. It was a spectacular failure of the missense paradigm.
Wow.
SIVSAB proved to be an incredibly formidable evolutionary challenge. It showed that a single gentle mutation simply wasn't going to cut it. The shape of the viral capsid was just too different.
So when single changes failed, the team had to get creative. They built what's called a combinatorial library.
Right. They knew the rhesus monkey version of TRIM5 could stop the virus.
So instead of random single mutations, they started intentionally mixing and matching human and rhesus V1 loop parts.
They wanted to map out the exact evolutionary path the human protein would need to take to finally grab the SIVSAB capsid.
And the results of that chimera experiment really illustrated the problem, didn't they?
Oh, vividly. To get human TRIM5A to work against SIVSAB via missense mutations, it required an incredibly specific combination.
How specific?
It needed exactly 5 rhesus-like mutations right in the center of the V1 loop, plus a 6th modifier mutation sitting just outside the loop.
6 specific simultaneous amino acid changes.
Exactly.
That is not a gentle evolutionary slope. Getting 6 specific mutations is an impassable canyon. Let me put it this way for you. It's like trying to open a six-dial combination lock.
I like that analogy.
Evolution works when every correct number you guess gives you a slight survival advantage, right? You lock in the first number, you're a bit stronger, so you survive to guess the second number.
Yes, that's the classic model.
But here, getting one mutation or two or three or five did absolutely nothing to stop the virus. There was zero survival advantage along the way.
Right. An organism would basically have to guess all six numbers on the combination lock at the exact same time, by pure random chance, to get any benefit.
Which is just mathematically absurd.
In evolutionary biology, we call that a flat fitness landscape.
Yeah.
The organism is wandering blindly through multiple useless mutations before ever seeing a reward.
It's practically impossible on any realistic biological timescale.
Exactly. The human population would be decimated by the virus long before that combination was randomly rolled.
So the gentle missense route is a complete dead end. And this is where the team introduces their breakthrough method, deep indel scanning, or DIS.
Instead of swapping single letters, they intentionally created a library of genetic stutters.
Right. They engineered duplications and deletions ranging from 1 to 9 amino acids long, sweeping across the entire V1 loop.
They were mimicking a natural biological phenomenon called DNA polymerase slippage.
Which is what exactly?
Well, when our cellular machinery copies our DNA, it's not perfect. The polymerase enzyme sometimes stutters on the track, accidentally copying small genetic sequence twice, or just skipping over a chunk entirely.
Wait, I'm looking at this methodology and something feels a bit too clean. They purposefully designed this experiment to only test what they call in-frame indels, right?
Yes, they did.
So they only inserted or deleted chunks of DNA in exact multiples of three letters. But in nature, polymerase slippage is sloppy. It doesn't care about the rules of reading frames.
That is an excellent point and a vital distinction in genetic mechanics.
DNA is read by the cell in triplets called codons, right?
Right. Each triplet equals one amino acid. So if a natural stutter inserts just one or two DNA letters, it causes a frame shift.
It pushes the entire downstream reading frame out of alignment.
Exactly. Every single piece of the protein code past that typo becomes complete gibberish. That almost always results in a totally destroyed, truncated, non-functional protein.
So by forcing the library to stick to multiples of three, these in-frame indels, the researchers avoided scrambling the rest of the TRIM5A protein.
Precisely.
They basically just smoothly added or removed an intact gear from the middle of the mechanism to see what would happen specifically to the local shape of the V1 loop.
Right. They run this deep indel scanning library through the exact same flow cytometry gauntlet.
They infect the dish with the green fluorescent SIV sub.
And they wait to see if any of these gear-breaking in-frame stutters actually save the cell from glowing green.
And this is where the massive aha moment of the paper happens. The DIS library revealed that duplicating just one single amino acid,
specifically a phenylalanine at position 339,
right, which they refer to as the F339 Joubert mutation, that instantly gave human TRIM5A potent, robust ability to restrict SIV sub.
It is an astonishing leap. One stutter, three little nucleotides naturally copied twice during a polymerase slip, and suddenly the protein achieves what six impossible missense mutations couldn't.
It bypasses that impassable evolutionary canyon entirely.
Totally bypasses it.
It's incredibly counterintuitive. I mean, you're throwing an extra gear into the system, and instead of braking, it instantly calibrates to a completely new threat. And it wasn't a weak response either.
Not at all. The F339 duplication provided an antiviral restriction capability that was equivalent to completely swapping in the entire rhesus monkey V1 loop.
Which, as we established, represents a vast evolutionary distance.
Exactly.
But there was a bonus benefit here that I found, frankly, staggering. Usually in these host virus arms races, if a protein mutates its shape to stop a brand new virus, it loses its structural ability to stop an old one. It's a strict trade-off.
That is a standard assumption, yes.
Right.
Pleiotropy usually dictates a cost.
But the researchers found that the F339 DEP mutation didn't just stop the new threat, SIV sab. It also enhanced the protein's ability to restrict HIV-1 and another virus called SIBCTZ.
And it did all of this without impairing any of its existing cellular functions.
So there was absolutely no apparent evolutionary cost to this massive structural leap.
None that they could find. Three nucleotides copied, one evolutionary leap.
It's like throwing an extra gear into a mechanical watch. And not only does it continue keeping perfect time, but it also suddenly starts perfectly tracking the phases of the moon. It's a complete biological shortcut.
It really is.
But of course, listeners might be wondering, you know, sure, a genetically engineered insertion works in a highly controlled flow cytometry lab setup, but does nature actually use this cheat code in the wild?
Well, that is the crucial next step the researchers took. To validate that this isn't just lab trickery, they looked deep into the evolutionary phylogenetic history of primate Trimfiva.
They mapped the genetics of various monkey species, right?
Yes, and they found that primate Trimfiva has naturally relied on these exact indel mutations at least three separate times in its evolutionary history.
Wow, so nature has been running its own deep indel scanning experiment for millions of years.
Exactly. For example, they found that the ancestors of modern macaques and baboons evolved a 2-amino acid insertion right in this loop.
Okay, that's one.
And all New World monkeys share a distinct 9-amino acid deletion in the exact same region.
They just ripped a chunk out.
Right. But perhaps the most striking historical example involves the African green monkeys. They naturally possess a massive 20-amino acid duplication in their V1 loop.
20 amino acids. That is a massive chunk of genetic material to just suddenly duplicate.
It is huge. And the researchers experimentally proved that this specific natural historical duplication is exactly what allows those African green monkeys to fiercely fight off SAMAC.
Which is a potent virus endemic to captive macaques.
Exactly. Without that massive, messy stutter, they would be vulnerable.
Okay, we need to synthesize what this means for biology as a whole. We started by stating that indels are disastrous, gear-breaking mutations that usually cause disease. Have we been looking at this fundamental mechanism all wrong?
It represents a major paradigm shift in structural biology. We need to stop viewing indels purely as destructive genetic errors.
What are they then?
The reality is that they are a high-risk, high-reward evolutionary strategy. It is true that an indel will absolutely shatter a rigid, highly ordered protein core.
Right, the clockwork part.
Exactly. But unstructured regions, like the V1 loop of Trimer 5, are fundamentally different. Because they are intrinsically disordered, like a loose net, they have the physical tolerance to absorb these massive structural leaps.
They take the shock of the indel and use it to instantly reconfigure their entire interaction surface.
Precisely.
I really want to dig into the biophysics here. I want to know how this is, like, actually working on a molecular level.
Okay, let's break it down.
If missense mutations are, like, changing the electrical charge of the net to make it magnetically stick to the virus, what is an extra phenylalanine amino acid actually doing mechanically to the net?
Well, this brings up the concept of the entropic penalty. Remember, an unstructured loop is floppy. To successfully grab the viral capsid, it basically has to freeze into a very specific rigid shape that matches the capsid surface.
Right.
In thermodynamics, forcing a chaotic floppy structure into a highly ordered frozen state takes a massive amount of energy. That energy caused is the entropic penalty.
Oh, so, it's like trying to wrangle a wet noodle into a very specific, tight lasso shape. It takes a lot of work to overcome the floppiness.
That is a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Now, consider the specific amino acid they duplicated, phenylalanine.
Okay.
Phenylalanine is a bulky, highly hydrophobic molecule. It fiercely repels water.
Meaning it hates the watery environment of the cell.
Right, it wants to hide. The theory proposed by the authors is that to hide this new hydrophobic bulky gear, the V1 loop is forced to pre-fold around it.
Oh, wow, that makes so much sense. By trying to hide the water-hating phenylalanine, the loop accidentally starches itself.
Exactly.
It restricts its own floppiness and naturally falls into a pre-folded shape that just happens to be much more compatible with the viral capsid. It drastically reduces the energy needed to form that lasso.
Precisely. It alters the mechanical flexibility of the loop, bypassing the need to perfectly tweak the electrical charges through 6 different missense mutations. It is a beautiful biophysical shortcut.
But, you know, to be fair to the scientific process, we do need to point out the study's limitations. They couldn't directly observe every aspect of this wet noodle lassoing the virus, right?
True. The researchers objectively note that they couldn't directly measure the exact chemical binding affinity of the mutated human Trimfida to the SIVSAB capsids in a test tube.
Why is it so hard to measure?
Because the natural affinity is notoriously low and hard to measure.
Yeah.
Trimfida relies on multiple very weak interactions clustering together across a vast lattice to work.
Right.
That makes it incredibly difficult to isolate and measure a single protein's exact binding strength using current biochemical assays.
And there's also that limitation with the indels themselves that I brought up earlier, the whole clean library issue.
Yes, the in-phase versus out-of-phase indel problem. Mm-hmm. They purposefully designed their laboratory stutters to insert whole words intact three-letter codons.
Right, they only tested in-phase indels to keep the rest of the protein pristine.
But nature is messy. A polymerase slippage can happen after the first or second letter of a codon,
which creates an out-of-phase indel.
Exactly. These out-of-phase indels might eventually restore the overall reading frame down the line, but at the boundary of the stutter, they create a messy genetic collision that causes adjacent missense mutations right next to the indel.
Right, because the letters are suddenly grouped differently at the edges of the typo.
Exactly. By designing a clean, perfect library, the researchers basically ignored about 66% of the indels that might naturally occur during DNA replication.
Those messy out-of-phase indels might hold even more powerful evolutionary secrets, or they might introduce structural flaws that completely destroy the benefits we just talked about.
We simply don't know yet, because they weren't scanned.
Which perfectly highlights where this field needs to go next. I mean, the obvious next step is expanding this indel scanning technique to include those messy, out-of-phase natural stutters.
Absolutely.
But more importantly, applying this to other innate immune proteins with unstructured loops, like MXA or MXB, to see what other hidden defenses we might unlock.
To synthesize all of this, the central insight of the Tensari paper is profound. Indel mutations, long dismissed as primarily destructive genetic errors, actually serve as crucial evolutionary shortcuts.
They allow host immune proteins to instantly cross impassable fitness landscapes.
Right, and acquire complex new defenses against rapidly evolving viruses in a single leap.
It completely changes how we view adaptation. Before we wrap up, I just can't stop thinking about that broken mechanical watch analogy.
Yeah, the extra gear.
We spend so much time in biology and medicine trying to gently tune the mechanism, polishing the gears, swapping a tiny spring here and there to make the immune system tick perfectly against a new virus.
The missense approach.
Right. But sometimes, survival doesn't belong to the perfect timekeeper. Sometimes, survival belongs to the system that survived having a massive wrench thrown into its gears and somehow adapted to perfectly track something entirely new. What does this mean for our future? If a single genetic stutter can leapfrog millions of years of slow evolution, how might we use these indels to engineer synthetic immune proteins capable of stopping the next pandemic before it starts?
That is the ultimate question we should all be asking.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Lost between numbers and time. Pass it at the right step. Don't drop the thread from first hint of worry to the words that get read. Build a path that fits the patient in front of you. Make it clear, make it real, make it something we can do.
obligation than an autonomous cause. With six moving dials, we can tune what's next. So more hands can help, and more people get their answers.